Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifies, World of Outlaws, Archives, all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
That's what I'm talking about. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Hope you're all set for 2 hours of nonstop race talk right here on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. We got a smoking lineup for you. Can't wait to get into all of that. But I am Joe Chisholm, along with Joe Chisholm Jr., right here in the RTR studio. And we're kind of set up and ready to go. What do you think, Junior? Bristol this weekend. That was fun.
There's the same amount of people here in this studio as there was in the grandstands
today. Wow. Yeah, it was
terrible,
a little light.
It was a little light. Shocking. But I tell you what, the people that were there got their money's worth. It was definitely a great cup race today. A great ending to a solid race through and through. I thoroughly enjoyed watching today's race.
Well, get your calculator out. This is the way it goes. 180,000 people is what that place holds.
Yeah.
So let's say it was half full today.
Yeah.
Let's go half.
Well, no.
That would be somewhere around 90,000 people, I would think.
Yeah.
That would be, give or take, what, 5-6 times the amount of people that would take in a full house NHL hockey game. I don't care where they hold it.
Yep, definitely.
In any arena.
Yep.
So, and then
Except the outdoor games.
Worldwide television audience, radio audience.
Yep.
I think it was still a pretty good day for NASCAR.
It was a good show. And,
it was a good show. Really
good. The race itself, it's still not the old Bristol to me.
No.
It doesn't race like the old Bristol. The people that race don't race like the old Bristol racers used to. But still a good show all in all. I liked the way that that sticky stuff worked, the grip, spray that they put on the track.
As long as you were in it, you were good.
It seemed like it was definitely pretty good and worked good. And the crazy part about that stuff, and, we've raced on tracks, all across, here in Canada and then as well down in the States on the short track level. With that stuff, it's so inconsistent, with the temperature outside. If they spray that exact same mixture on the racetrack, for the night race, coming up, in August, it won't react the exact same way.
No, it'll be different.
That's kind of the crazy part about it. Even if they have the same tire and everything, it's just, a little bit of humidity change and a little bit of temperature change and it changes the way that it races. I think today it fit very well with the application process that they had, and it produced some great racing. I think that, looking at all the stuff that took place today, stage one, that was by far the best stage one in all of NASCAR this year so far.
Yeah, it was. It was very entertaining, very exciting. Cool part is, Junior, we're going to have our first guest tonight is Alex Labbe, and he was on that very racetrack yesterday in the NASCAR Xfinity race, driving the number 90. We got Alex Labbe coming up in short order here. We also have Dylan Gusby coming on the program tonight, driver of the 91. He is out in PEI. He runs in the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour. We'll also catch up tonight with a hot Canadian talent. Amber Balkan is going to come back in here. We haven't spoke with Amber in a long time. We'll do a catch-up with Amber tonight. And we'll also hear from Matt Robley. He is going to be twisting laps on the half mile, the real fast half mile, at Delaware Speedway. Amongst other plans, we'll find out what they are. And that's what we got on tap for you tonight. But what do you say we get right to that hotline, and we'll talk some more Bristol with a guy that was actually on that speedway. Eighth quick in final practice for Xfinity. He drove the number 90. We're used to seeing him in the 36. But, man, he had the 90 flying until something broke. Let's welcome in Alex Labbe. What's going on there, Alex? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Doing real good. Thanks so much for carving some time out for us tonight. You had what was going to be a really, really good day at Bristol yesterday, and then all of a sudden something broke. What happened?
Oh, yeah, we had a really solid weekend overall. Really good speed in all the sessions, but we broke our gear on, like, on lap 7, I think. Just pure bad luck. We're like we were talking with Mario, we're not trying to save money, nothing. We're on a lease program for gears, and it's good stuff. It's the stuff that we want to run to be competitive, but it's just a failure in the part and strip the ring gear. But it's part of racing. We got it fixed up. We got it changed, but we lost like 90 laps and came back on the track. But we still had some really, really good speed in that 90 car yesterday. It was a lot of fun to drive, but would have been a lot more fun there to compete for a top 10 or top 12 instead of just participating to score some points there.
Yeah, incredible. Alex, was it a byproduct of that sticky, gluey stuff that they had on the racetrack? Is that maybe why that gear came apart?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it sure doesn't help, because, I mean, we're... especially when the stuff is hot and there's still a lot on the track where we can push that pedal pretty hard, and it's got a lot of grip when we get back on the gas. We talked about it a little bit. I'm sure it's got something to do with it, but at the same time, I mean, like I was saying, it's sometimes because we're a smaller team, we're trying to cut some corners around at some places and change parts as often as the big teams at some place, some areas. But I mean, we're on a rental program for the gears, so it's. That was really not a place where we were trying to save anything there, and it's just a failure there. I don't know. It's a shame. It's part of it, but it's part of racing. I guess it's part of racing. That's what we're saying. we're trying to convince us it's part of racing.
Absolutely. If any one of us could find a way to guarantee failures would not happen in racing, we'd be on a beach somewhere drinking Mai Tais as opposed to talking about racing at this point in time. But definitely a shame. Alex, looking at the weekend overall, you know, we kind of touched base about that sticky stuff kind of at the beginning of the show. Talk a little bit about racing through that. I know the past couple of years they've been applying that and they've been applying it to numerous races and racing surfaces across the NASCAR schedule, and really you're seeing it a lot more at the short track level as well. But looking at the way that they applied it, I guess they changed the formulation. Was it the best that you've felt it in the past?
Yeah, I think the application was pretty much spot on for Bristol, and it was a lot of fun because we could run the bottom, we could run the wall, we could run the middle. I mean, the bottom and the wall was pretty much the best places to be, but I think the bottom was a little faster there, like by yourself, but once you got somebody on your outside, you don't have that momentum to get the runs on the straightaway. So it was a really good side-by-side battles. And I mean, I really like the way they're applying that BJ1. It'd be kind of tough if they didn't put any stuff. I mean, everybody would be running to the top, and it'd be everybody would try to do some slide job and slide here and there, but maybe it'd be different racing, but I think it's a little more entertaining, like the way they do it right now. They've got a pretty good concept.
Well, if you just tuned in to Racetime Radio, we won't put you down a lap yet, but you're halfway behind, okay? We have Alex Labbe with us. Of course, in 2018, Alex competed in the NASCAR Xfinity Series full-time in the number 36 with DGM Racing. Did a dynamite job. Came away with, I believe it was 17th overall, wasn't it,
yep.
Alex?
Yep, 17 driver points. We had a solid year for sure last year.
Absolutely. Now, this year, things haven't worked out perfectly for you just yet. You're not back in there full-time, but you have had a few races in. How's the future looking?
Yeah, we ran in Bristol this year so far. Well, a couple more this year, probably around eight to ten races, I guess. I mean, nothing's really clear scheduled there. With Mario trying to see what we can and what we can. No, we're still trying to finalize a deal and run a pindy. Still, we're just trying to.
Oh man, we're just breaking up here, Alex. Alex, you got to stand with your left arm up in the air. Your left arm up in the air, your right leg off the ground, and we might be able to understand what you're saying. Cell reception sucks.
You still hear me here?
Hey, we got you now.
We got you now, brother.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm on the road driving back from Bristol. Sorry about it. But,
yeah, it's tough when you're on that road and driving along. Trying to get a Pinty's series put together this year as well, right? You'd be a busy guy if you put everything together.
Yep, yeah, for sure. We're is the reception good now?
Yep, got you good.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We're trying to work on a deal, trying to run a Pinty's series full-time at the same time. trying to run a Pinty's full-time, trying to run a little Xfinity here and there, and we bought a late model. Probably going to run a late model, ACT late model, a couple times too. So we're going to stay pretty busy. I mean, it's kind of a shame. I wanted to go back full time for sure, Xfinity, but we couldn't work out a deal that made sense to us. And I mean, I'd rather just go back once in a while with Mario. And when we go to the racetrack, we're ready and we're competitive, just like we've been doing the last two races this year. We've had some really good runs, even if it's didn't really show because we had a couple bad luck, but I mean, at least when we're there, we got some speed, and they know, everybody knows at the racetrack we're there. So
absolutely,
it's a good time.
Absolutely, for sure. Interesting that you mentioned that you picked up a late model. You mentioned it was an ACT late model. I know that there's a little bit of differences between that and a conventional crate late model or pro late model, like a Jags car or an APC car.
Yep.
Do you have any plans or aspirations to run the $75,000 to win race at UCASA?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, we got a. The schedule looks pretty good for that weekend, and it's really interesting. Ducati's a really nice track to race, and especially that big money there is going to be a lot of drivers and a lot of competition. So I think we've got no plans yet, but we're certainly looking to find a good deal. I mean, I could run it with the late model we bought, but it's a perimeter chassis, and you can't run a straight rail with pro late, so we kind of have a small disadvantage and not the same wheelbase. There's a couple of things different, but
absolutely,
I think if we can find a good pro late model and have a good deal together, it'd be we're going to be there for sure, and sure we're going to have to go test a little bit for it.
Yeah, and you're a guy that you know your way around that racetrack. You've had good success there.
Oh yeah, I've only been there twice, but we've had a really good speed there. So I mean, it's really a nice track. I think it's in Canada. It's what gets closer to like a mile and a half or a mile, like what we're racing there in the U.S. So it's a lot of fun, a lot of momentum, and a lot of speed.
We've also got the NASCAR Gander Mountain Truck Series coming back to Canada into CTMP. Do you think maybe we've got a chance of seeing you in a truck later this year?
Oh yeah, for sure. Just the same deal. If I got a good opportunity there, I would run for sure, but it's something we've been looking to, because like I'm saying, we're working on a Pinty's deal, and we're probably going to be there that weekend, so it'd be a good fit. But for sure, if we can get a good truck and a good team to be able to perform, we're going to try to give it a shot, because I like the road race. I'm not a road race specialist. I think I can road race pretty decent, but I'm not a LaCroix or Tagliani or Ranger, but I really enjoyed to road race, and it'd be fun. It'd be fun, like if we get a good truck and go there and try to race for a win.
Don't you sell yourself short. I on Friday night, I sat here in the Racetime Radio studios, sat beside the wood stove, and I cracked a couple Bud Lights, and I sat back and I watched a few of the Pinty's races from last year. The first race that I watched was Trois-Rivières, and yep. I watched you drive from dead last in the field all the way up to a podium finish, and I tell you what, man, I was there live for it. I didn't have my eyes on you the entire time, but every time the camera showed you, you were equally as good as a Kevin LaCroix or a Tagliani. You were all over the curbs down there at Trois-Rivières. So if you bring that fire in your belly to the truck series, I guarantee you'll be strong.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, like I said, I really enjoy to do it. I do a lot of simulation. It's really something I like to do, like a road racing. Just all the small details you got to take in consideration. There, it's a lot of fun, and just like a lot last year, we ran four road courses in the Xfinity series, and I had a lot of a lot of fun, especially on that roval there. The last of the year, we had a pretty good run. But I think CTMP is one of the nicest roll courses too. So it kind of weights in the balance there. If we can go there in a truck, I'd jump on the opportunity for sure.
With Alex Labbe tonight, fresh off the racetrack from Bristol just yesterday in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Alex, you were behind the wheel of the 90 yesterday. You've been behind the wheel of the 36 last year, all year. Any difference between the two cars? Has Mario got them prepared identical?
No, it's the same cars. The car I ran this weekend is car. I ran that car a couple times last year with a 36. Like 36 and 90 are basically on the same program, or same motor program. We just switch. We basically just switch the numbers on the door. So it's the same. It's just a DGM racing program. And now the guys did a really good job. I mean, we unloaded really good this weekend. First practice we were P15, and second practice P8. I think that was our best oval effort. I think it was a career best for us. So it's just a shame that we got a little issue there in the race, but it just seems like bad luck strikes on us a little bit when we got some solid speed. Happened the same thing on the roval last year when we had some really, really good speed. We qualified fifth and had some a top five car all weekend, but lost an axle on the first lap. Just part of the game. I mean, nobody's working to have those kind of issues. We're all working in the same direction, but, you know, it's just part of racing.
Alex, I know on the, it's definitely tough. It took you a few laps to get it changed, but I also know that you guys have to stay, you know, kind of on par and gain as many points as possible for the ownership points side. But did you guys get a chance to try anything wacky or you know, use it as a test session beyond that after you guys were repaired and back out on the racetrack? Did you guys use that as a test session or was it just riding around basically after that?
For sure. We try some stuff. We just try to get the car as good as we can. Just try to learn as much as we can about the track and the car. And I mean, when we got back on the track, we had some really good speed. We were racing around Jeremy Clemens the whole time, and he ended up 12th. And it would have been a really good run if we could run there, like on the same lap as him, like 12, 13, 14. It would have been a really good day for us. But it's just part of the game, and like I said, we got back on the track, and I was maybe not 110% like I would have been, but probably 95, and just trying to get as much as we can out of the car just to try to learn some stuff, because we don't have a lot of track time, like apart from a race week in these kind of series. So every time you're on the track, you gotta learn something, you gotta try something different, especially when you got that kind of situation there where you got nothing to lose, just a couple points to gain.
Yeah, and Mario Gosselin, too. You got to hand it to Mario. He would take opportunity with absolutely every chance he can, right? You take something that really bad luck happened, and you never know what you can learn. But if there's anybody that's going to do some learning, it's going to be Mario.
Oh, yeah. He ain't scared to change stuff and try some stuff. Even as you can see, like a lot of time during the races, he ain't scared to try different stuff on the strategy side. Sometimes we're a little off on it. We're trying to go in a different direction, but it pays off. It's kind of tough, like in the field where we're running. Like I'm say, like from 15 to 20th, 21st, you always gotta gamble a little bit where when you pit and when you take the wave around. You gotta gamble on if there's some caution that already come out or not. But Mario's pretty good on that side of the game for sure.
Absolutely incredible. If anybody can do this, Alex, it's going to be you. We've all got faith in you. I can tell you that. The whole country's behind you. When's the next time you strap in, or have you got a clear vision on the next race?
It's probably going to be Talladega at the end of the month. I mean, we're not 100% sure yet, but we're going to decide during the week with Mario. We've got a couple of phone calls to do and just trying to commit on that, but it looks like it's going to be Talladega at the end of the month, and then we're going to start our late model and probably a little bendy stuff, and so on. But probably the next start will be, I think it's April 27th, Talladega. So it'd be fun. I mean, a super speedway, and anything can happen there. So it's always fun to go there and trying to hang on in the draft and trying to miss the big one.
Yeah, that's the trick, isn't it? Whenever you guys are on that super speedway stuff, it's all there's an element of luck that comes along with it. You got to be good, but you got to be lucky as well. And you got to know what you're doing. And Alex, you're magic behind the wheel, man. All you need is the opportunity. I said it yesterday in a tweet. You're going to make the best of an opportunity when you get it. And it one of these days, buddy, it's coming around.
Oh, yeah, I hope that's where we're working towards a direction. We just want to just hope one day somebody's going to give us a break and trying to be able to sit in a competitive top five car in a Xfinity series. I mean, on an oval, that'd be a dream come true, and that's what we're working towards. And even Mario's helping me a lot, putting me in a really good cars. I mean, for the field of cars we're running, we're one of the top teams for sure. Every weekend we show up, so it's always fun, and I think people notice it.
Absolutely. Good stuff, my man. I got to thank you for your time tonight on Racetime Radio. Safe travels back here to Canada, and it's going to be great. Can't wait to see you at Talladega. Hopefully that comes true, and we'll get you definitely back on the program, and we'll be able to look at that one in the rearview mirror.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on again.
You betcha. That's Alex Labbe. He's on his way back from Bristol. Tough weekend for him, Junior, but he had a fast car. Eighth quick amongst the cast of characters he's racing against in Xfinity. That's saying a lot.
Yeah, definitely it was. And, you know, we watched practice there, the coverage that we've seen, and, you know, just got a chance to take it all in. And when he did show that speed, it was exciting, you know?
Yeah,
it was
big time.
It was really exciting to see, you know, every time that they show, you know, glimmers of speed and any time that you can see that out of a Canadian competitor down there is definitely exciting. And just a tough break. You know, they posted a photo on Twitter. DGM did, and I believe Alex Labbe retweeted it, but they posted the photo of the ring gear, so if you want to check it out, there's
cool.
A photo of the ring gear with, you know, you could see all the gears sheared off the outside. Just a tough break, you know, they know that he was there, and that's the biggest thing. You keep on doing that, you keep on getting out there, posting good speed. You know, you look at a guy like Ross Chastain, earned opportunity through being there.
Right.
And not just being there, but being there and over or outperforming your expectations. And I think that Alex Labbe has done that in every step of his career. He's strapped into Pinty's cars that, you know, sometimes were not the best car and drove it right to the front.
Yep.
And, you know, it's every time that he was in a late model, you know, they struggled down at New Smyrna this year. And night number one, when they unloaded that Martin Lataloupe car.
Yeah, the 84.
They struggled. And you know, it comes from good feedback and everything. And towards the end of the week, he was a top five contender. If not a winning speed car towards the end. And he does that every time. And he squeezes out those, you know, clutch finishes. And it looks really good. I'm excited. His loss is our win up here in Canada. If we get a chance to see him race full-time in the Pinty Series again, man, that competition level takes a big leap forward again. And that's definitely big news.
It sure does. Kind of cool, too. Don't know whether you've ever downloaded the NASCAR app on your phone, but if you get an opportunity, go do it. I've done it. There is a service that you can pay for in there, and I've bought it, paid for it back when Junior was down south working with the Cup side, and you were spotting, actually, at Watkins Glen, listen to it. And you can have a listen, like it's just like you're at the racetrack, and you can pick the driver you want to listen to, and you can have a listen to their scanner. And I'll always have that click in. Alex is in the car. You can hear Mario. You can hear the crew. You get the whole feel of it. It's just like being at the Speedway, and you get that inside information. It's really cool. It adds a new dimension to the race. If you haven't done it, give it a whirl. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Okay, we're going to hit a break here. When we come back, we're going to go all the way out to PEI, and we're going to grab Dylan Gosby, another one of those guys, I do believe, Junior, that's got some new hardware that he'll debut in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Compete International Raceway on the May long weekend. We'll catch up with Dylan on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Oh, I know. It goes asphalt racing on dirt or plant potatoes. But I ain't saying that.
You already did.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian business journalist and author Amanda Lang stopped by Canada Talks.
I've written this book, Power Why, which was about engaging in your life and getting curious to get creative and innovative, because I realized that even when we have the right answers, we don't do anything with it. It's the change management that doesn't happen. And I started asking, why on earth do humans find change so hard? And when I started to look at it, it's neuroscientific, it's psychological, it's social, there's all these different moving parts. That was super interesting to me.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Oh, yes, live concerts.
Is there anybody alive?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day
on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio.
Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Junior, where is Jerry Paxton?
He's down south.
He is laying on a beach somewhere.
But I will say that
he and his wife Sylvia... playing in Florida. Can you imagine?
I will say, thank you, Jerry, for leaving the door open, because it's about 17 degrees Celsius here, and that is a beautiful thing.
Oh, it feels
so
good. So,
you know what?
So
thanks
good.
For leaving the door open when you left. You know, hopefully it doesn't shut with the wind. I hear that it's going to drop down to like 1 and 2 degrees this week, but thanks for leaving the door open.
Well, Jerry, listen to me. You get good and rested up, buddy. We got a long, long season ahead, and we're going to have a dandy on Racetime Radio. We're going to be out on that East Coast, and we're going to be bringing you lots of Parts for Trucks Tour races live. And this next guest is going to be one that you're going to hear a lot about throughout the course of the summer. I can guarantee it. He drives the number 91. His name, Dylan Gosby. He's with us on the hotline. Dylan, how you doing? Good evening.
Hey, Joe. How's it going tonight, man?
Fantastic.
First off, I wanted to say congrats on that clean bill of health you got there earlier in the week. That's awesome news, man.
Oh, thank you so much. That's right. Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I got my CT scan results back. The first CT scan since I had cancer, I was diagnosed, went through the treatments, and I'll tell you what, I went into my doctor's office on, it was Thursday, and I said to him, I said, look at Dr. Sutherland, I need you to be the good news bearer today. You got to tell me something good. I've heard enough bad stuff. Tell me something good. He said, I think you're going to really like what I got to tell you. He said, that tumor is gone.
No,
I said, really?
Awesome.
Like, gone? Not just shrunk? He said, no, Joe, it's gone. So I was incredibly happy, still am today. But, man, yeah, thanks so much. I really appreciate
it. No, it's great. Great news.
Everybody's support and patience by everybody. You know, like, we were off the air for, like, 10 weeks on Racetime Radio as I went through those treatments. And I'll tell you what, scary times of life, but now it's time to celebrate, and I can't wait to get back out on that East Coast and get to our first live broadcast. And by the looks of it, Dylan, you got another brand-new piece that you're going to debut.
Yeah, that we do, man. We picked up a new car there just after Christmas, and, yeah, it's going to be great to finally have a new piece of gear to start the year out. I mean, we picked up a lot of, like, relatively new cars, but still used ones that people couldn't get going, and we've made the best of it and got them going better. But, yeah, we're starting out with a brand new piece, and it should be an awesome year.
You East Coast guys are making me eat my words, Dylan Gosby. Just so you know, it wasn't but 3 weeks ago, and I guess it was 4 weeks ago. We had Craig Slonwhite on, and at that point, I had only heard through the grapevine that there was only like three or four new pieces at that point. Because
The
year before, there was a lot of new pieces. Everybody was talking about, I've got a new car, I've got a new car, I've got a new car. You know, it looked like the APC tour was kind of eclipsing you guys on the new car count rolling into the season. You guys are equal now.
Well, you got your regular customers up here that typically get a new one every year. So,
exactly.
So it'd be nice to be on pace with them, hopefully.
100%.
Who are you hooked up with, Dylan, in that 91?
Oh, Johnny and Butch Van Dorn, two wicked guys. I haven't met anybody as smart as them, man. When it comes to racing, they know their stuff.
Yeah, good. We had Johnny on last week, actually. He's got a program together with J.R. Fitzpatrick out of Ontario. And I know he's been incredibly strong out on Canada's East Coast, out in the Maritimes there, with Dylan. And now another Dylan Aperi is out there. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, they know their stuff, whether they're on the East Coast, West Coast, the middle of the country. They run different packages all over, and I mean, like I say, like I haven't talked to people as smart as them when it comes to racing. You can't stump them. You ask them a question, and it's an immediate response of whatever you ask. They tell you what you wanted to know, and then some. They're awesome guys. I don't think JR will be disappointed.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, last year, speaking of bad news, man, you had enough bad news at the end of the season. I happened to be tuned in on Pit Row TV, and I seen the wicked accident that took place at 660. You were pretty well forced into getting a new car, I would think.
Yeah, well, that was actually our first Van Dorn chassis we picked up 2 weeks prior to that. And, yeah, it was a rocket, man. It was awesome. We were wanting to make a change. We were looking, you know, like everybody's kind of dealing with somebody and getting a bit of help somewhere. And we were one of the people not doing that. We were doing our own thing and showing up. And, I mean, we were semi-competitive, but we were looking to go to that next level and talk to Johnny and Butch, and they were up for it. So we hooked up with them, went down and got a car, and yeah, we were running awesome at Fredericton, looking like we were going to get a podium finish, and yeah, come up short.
Incredible. I've never seen such a bizarre accident in my entire life. That one there, honestly, sitting there, I couldn't believe it. All I wanted to do was make sure you were okay, because that was a horrendous wreck. I was glad to hear that you were okay, and I knew you would be one spark plug, man, because that car was destroyed.
Yeah, no, man, it was pretty heartbreaking. We weren't happy at all, no. The car was awesome. Like I said, it's real safe, too. Like, yeah, I didn't feel a thing, but it was pretty tough to have a brand-new car. And, yeah, it was a write-off. There was nothing left of it. But
incredible.
Anyway, it's good to go forward knowing that we got another new one, and we're hoping to hit the ground running.
Well, Dylan, we've watched you a number of times out there on the East Coast, and you know how to get the job done. There's no doubt about that. I've seen you out front where you started out back, you get up front, and I've seen the silly things will take place, right? Like you'll have a 99-cent part break or fail, and it takes you out of a win because you were right there to win. It's going to be, I guess you got to have those pages in the book to get the wins.
Exactly. No, and that's, like I say, part of the product of having the older cars, so we're hoping to have the reliability a little bit better this year. And you're on the leading edge of technology. Before, like, we were always a step behind, and now we're going to be right there with the rest of them. And, yeah, no, man, like you say, like, we're usually right there, and for some reason, luck, lightning strikes you and it takes you out, but we're hoping this year turns it around.
when you look at the racetracks that you run in the Parts for Trucks Tour, you guys are going to kick it off on the May long weekend at Petty International Raceway. You get off to Scotia Speed World the weekend after that, then into Riverside, out to PEI, out to Oyster Bed Speedway. You guys are at a variety of racetracks, different configurations. Which one fits you the best?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I find we're a top five car anywhere you go, so I feel confident going to any of them, really. On paper, Petty's our best track. Andy Ganish is becoming one of the better ones. But I'd like to win a Scotia. That's where I want to take home a trophy. You know, it's kind of a running joke along the island racers of the Nova Scotia Tour, and it'd be nice to take a win away at their home track.
And you've got the potential of doing it, I can guarantee you. Have you seen any of the other PEI guys? Have you guys got together over the winter and did a little bench racing before things get serious?
Well, no. I mean, you see the odd guy out and about, but we're not like fraternizing all the time by any means. We're not sitting in a hot tub like Cole and Turple and Jarrett.
Too funny. You know, we were talking about this today, Junior and I, watching the NASCAR race, and he said, you know, Dad, things have changed in this sport. He said, NASCAR, a lot of these guys get together, and, you know, they're buddies on and off the racetrack. Nothing wrong with that. But it takes an element away. And what I find in that Parts for Trucks Tour, yeah, you guys can look at one another and maybe shake hands at driver introductions, but that's about it. Guys go to work, and they go out, and they race. And you don't like that guy until you get by him and you beat him, well, then he's all right.
Oh, yeah, man. Once the helmets are on, everybody's fair game. And you'll never see two people race as hard as two Islanders going for a spot. It seems like they always get up on the wheel when there's another Islander beside them. So.
Just to get out there and beat them. That speaks to the competition. You got a pile of guys that can win a race in a night. Sounds like you're going a long way to make sure that winner is going to be you this year, Dylan. It's kind of cool. How about the crew? Same guys coming back? Have you made any changes there?
Yeah, we're going to have the majority of the same people back. We're losing one guy. I think he's going to go back racing himself. I don't know if he's going to be on the tour or if he's going to be at Oyster Bed or what he's quite up to, but, you know, he's putting the car back together, so we're going to do what we can to make sure he's running good. But other than that, it's all the rest of the people coming back for sure.
I will say, I do want to thank you for not posting a color swapped photo like you did last year.
that threw a lot of people off.
You screwed me up last year because I thought that car looked badass with blue. Not that it doesn't with red and black, but I do want to ask, why or how much thought went into it? Were you going to go blue? Or were you just going to was that ever in the question?
You never know. My guys, my sponsor, my buddy that owns the cars, I mean, he loved that color too, and you never know. You might see us. We're known for showing up at the IWK 250 with something different than we've always run, so you never know, man. You might see us show up with a blue car or a pink one or a green one. You never know what we'll have.
I think that would be a good deal. Also, I do want to give just a little bit of idea here, and if I was Dylan racing for Van Dorn, I'd do the exact same thing. I would block my number and call Johnny Van Dorn and say, Johnny, it's Dylan from the East Coast. What was I running for a right front spring last year at the IWK?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Those guys, like I say, like they're helping a ton of people.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't really matter who they're helping. They're all running good. And I respect whatever relationship they have with Blankhorn. I mean, that's between them. And I'd never call them and ask them what he's doing. And
exactly.
I've never done it. And, yeah, whatever they're doing for me, it's working. It don't matter. Like, I drove the car twice. We were running second at Petty, and we had an ignition failure, unfortunately. And then we were running second at 660, and somebody came flying into the pits and ended our night. So,
yeah.
I mean, the car was right there. I couldn't have asked for anything better. The car, like, it drove itself. It was pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it didn't just end the night. It ended the car. Like, that was so bizarre. Anyway, it's in the rearview mirror, and thank God it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking at the races that we've got coming up, as mentioned, May 2-4, you guys will hit the racetrack. Any test time? Are you going to get any kind of laps on that beautiful 91 before we go green?
Yes, sir. We're definitely going to try to hit the track. We're heading down to Oxford, Maine, actually, next week. Sounds like we'll be heading through a snowstorm. We're supposed to get a storm here, actually, on Tuesday. But we're heading down to Maine, and, yeah, this is going to be a tough race. There's usually, like, 50 cars there, but We're down and try to shake it down and just be that one step closer when it comes to the tour up here.
Now, are you going to be a two-car team once again? Like, are you going to have your primary and your backup? Because I know last year you had to have two.
Yeah, it was a good thing we had two still, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. One got destroyed. Are you going to have two in the stable?
Yeah, we actually stogged two brand-new Van Dorns in the trailer on the way home, so we're ready to go, man. We got lots of bullets in the chamber.
I was just going to say, man, it sounds like we're going championship. Not just winning races, we're going to go for the whole enchilada this year.
That's kind of what we're looking for, man. We're trying to put all our ducks in a row, and at this point right now, it's up to us to not do it. So, I mean, we got the gear, and yeah, it's on us to not go win races and go after that championship.
Well, I can't help but ask, and I think I've asked every late model competitor this question, do you have Jukasa circled on your calendar this year for the big Canadian Nationals?
Yeah, it's pretty far out. I mean, we would love to do it at some point, but it's all going to depend on what's happening that time of year. If you're in the hunt for the championship, it's going to be tough to dedicate that week to 10 days that really is going to go into that effort to run good up there as well. But I mean, if you have two cars sitting here and one's ready to go over there, it wouldn't be so bad, but there'd be a lot of the logistics that would have to take place to make it happen. But knowing us, I mean, we race more races on the East Coast than anybody does. Will we be there? Or will be at Fredericton or somewhere, no doubt.
I can guarantee there won't be no couch time for
no
the
we don't get too much seat time on the couch. We're in the race car quite a bit.
Exactly.
It's a good problem to have.
Well, and you know what you could do, Dill? You could always take that backup car, the primary, ready to go, ship it to Ontario, have it ready to go, and then just fly into Jukasa. You can land at the Hamilton Airport and you're no more than about 20 minutes away from Jukasa. You could always arrive and drive.
Yeah, that sounds pretty doable, doesn't it?
Tell Johnny to bring an extra car with him, and you'll meet him at Jukasa.
Yeah, that's right. He's probably got room in the trailer for another one. That'd be awesome.
I can well imagine he is going to have that thing packed to the rafters this year coming north of the border. It's going to be a big one.
It is, yeah, and they've had really strong cars there last year for that race. I think Johnny was running up front and got a flat tire, and two other guys that run one of his chassis, I think finished in the top five. So,
yep.
I mean, it would be a smart move to go there, I think.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he's got the formula figured out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a dynamite one. So is everything we got happening on that East Coast. I know we're looking forward to it. And you got to be just coming off the chip, having the new car. And it sounds like you're totally driven.
Oh, yeah, no, man. We're chomping at the bit to get down to Oxford here and see what we got. I mean, we have high expectations, but not as high for going down there when you're running a different package than what you do up here against all them guys in pass. It's going to be tough, but we're looking forward to going down and shaking it down. We're hoping to come home with a solid top 10 and really letting them have it when we come back here to Petty.
Good deal. How about sponsorship? Final question for you. Y'all stitched up, fenders all looking good with names on them?
We got the best sponsor anybody could ask for in racing, man. Brittany and Ryan Hines. They are two passionate people with racing, and I couldn't thank them enough. If it wasn't for them, I'd be sitting in the stands watching racing, and they make it possible, and it's unbelievable what they do for us and their passion for the sport.
Well, they got a good driver behind the wheel and a good crew helping them out. Dylan,
thanks.
This is awesome. Can't wait to see you. It's only going to be a few weeks. Good luck at Oxford. Go down there and make your presence known, my friend.
We will, man. Thank you very much.
You want to believe it? That's Dylan Gosby. You can check him out. He's online. He's got a beautiful number 91 there, Joe. A beautiful looking race car. And he's got another one that looks just like it.
A program that has elevated dramatically. There's an upward trend with everything that they do. And he mentioned it you know, there's quite a few East Coast races that aren't tour races. At other tracks, whether it be Petty or Oyster Bed, that aren't necessarily sanctioned races, but they're invitationals. Dylan Gosby is at every one of them. There's no picking and choosing between races. If there's a late model race on the East Coast of Canada, it usually features a number 91 car, and you can hear obviously the learning curve that they are going to go through. Working with a company like Van Dorn is huge because they're going to gain a lot more data that they, you know, didn't have in the past.
Right.
But I absolutely love the fact that he mentioned they did it all on their own previous to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that means that they're going in with a solid notebook. They're going in with a notebook of what has worked for them in the past. And, you know, they're also going to have the added data that they have from a guy like Johnny Van Dorn and Butch Van Dorn. So really, that you couldn't ask for a better situation. If you are trying to get into a competitive situation and you automatically go to a guy like Johnny, or you go to a David White, or you go to a McCall, and you don't have that data to fall back on from your own learning,
right?
You're nowhere near as successful as what you can be is if you learn with subpar, knowledge or subpar information and data, and getting it to the point where you're fully competitive, which they were, you know, last year. At the beginning of the year, they were fully competitive. The year prior to that, they were competitive as well. Not necessarily lights out like the 53 or the 67 or the zero, or, you know, the likes of the 89 and those types of guys.
Right.
But, you know, the amount of knowledge that they're going to be able to lean on and add to the program all at once is going to be incredible. And you know, you look at the likes of Craig Slonwhite and those guys that are elevating their program with new pieces, they're coming in with momentum and pieces
right.
on the Gosby camp. So it's going to be interesting. Obviously, you know, we talk about it a lot. When you do roll a new piece out, you got bugs to work out. So
sure,
the neat part is he's going to unload at Oxford, which I think a lot of the East Coast guys are going to do. It seems like they do every year.
Cole probably be going down.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, when is the All-American 400? When is that makeup?
Oh, that's
in April.
Yeah, it's April 19th.
Is it?
April 19th, I want to say, yeah.
Okay, well, what's next weekend? What are we at? The 7th is going to be the 16th. Are you sure it's not next weekend?
It might be next weekend.
Yeah, well, we'll have to look at that. But as mentioned there, like Johnny Van Dorn is Johnny and Butch, smart guys. They know what they're doing. And when you get competitors like a Dylan Gosby, a J.R. Fitzpatrick, a Dylan Blankhorn, and they're in your equipment, imagine the information that is coming back collectively, because you're working with good guys too. So
yeah,
I think
14th.
It's a two-way street.
You are correct. April
is it?
14th.
Yeah, I thought it was coming up.
Yeah, so it's this weekend coming.
And
so
Cole did have the pole for that race.
Yep.
They're going to have to requalify, or does he still have the pole? Did qualifying get
in? It's a complete washout.
Complete.
Or it's a complete washout for the prolate models.
Right.
It was because Holdaway made the toe down, and it's a complete
washout.
That's
right, too. Holdaway's there as well.
But I'm going to have to – I'll do some digging.
Yeah.
When we're off air for the next break, I'll pull it up and see if he still has the pole. I believe that he still does.
Well,
I think that stands.
I hope it does. I hope it does. We're going to hit this break. I'll let you do some digging, and we'll get some questions answered. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, race fans, it's the 82 Fortinos Dodge, Dave Conley from Ottawa, and you're listening to Racetime Radio. Check us out at a local school. Go to fuelforkids.ca.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
To Canada Talks.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Everyone has a great time on Canada Talks. Marie Osmond.
The character and the person I am today is not because of the good things in my life. It's because of being able to pick myself up and get through some of the hard things in life. And so we are going to have those trials. That's what defines us. That's what determines our character.
Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Everyone has a great time on Canada Talks. Paul Stanley.
To be really successful, at least to feel personally successful, you have to do what you love doing. I've always believed that people aren't that different than I am. And if I do something I love, somebody else is going to love it. So it held true for music. It held true for doing theater. And it's held true for my art.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks. Sirius XM Channel 167. Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks. And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight. How about that? Tim Terry says, complete washout, qualify, requalify, and how about a little bit of a shortened race?
Yeah, so they're going to take 100 laps off for the All-American 400. So it's going to be shortened to 300 laps. A little bit bigger entry list. You know, they actually had a little bit of a car count struggle.
Initially,
there was, I believe it was only like 26 cars. But by the looks of it, there's quite a few more. And there's even some big names, you know, that are signed up. The likes of Harrison Burton, Mason Mingus, a guy that you haven't heard of a whole lot since his truck days.
His ARCA trucks
and stuff like that. Connor Okrezik, as well. You've got, you know, Casey Rodericks and Bubba Pollards and those types of guys. But Cole Butcher is obviously on the entry list again.
Yeah.
He's going to be stout. And as well, another Canadian competitor, Logan Jewell, is
Logan going?
Yeah, Logan Jewell
from the West Coast.
Which this is news to me. I'm just scrolling through and taking a look, but that's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah. Me
but,
too.
That's definitely cool. It's going to be good. Everybody that is going to be in attendance for that race definitely didn't like the news from February.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch is going to be there.
Of course.
Mr. 204. That's big news. He seems like he's on a little bit of a tear right now, and man, he's got a good shot at winning another one down there.
Yeah, he sure does. Kyle, when Kyle was up here in Ontario running at Delaware Speedway. It's back quite a few years now.
Yeah.
But when Kyle was here, he drove Steve Robley's car at Delaware Speedway.
Yep.
Tonight, we've got Matt Robley coming on. We'll have to ask him if his dad and maybe Matt stay in contact with Kyle.
Yeah, definitely.
And what they thought of today's race, seeing Kyle win another one. Pretty special, right? Kyle comes in, wins at Delaware in your dad's race car. And at that time, Matt was racing. He was in.
Yep. Yeah. Most definitely. It was watching Kyle Busch race that late model. The technology today, Robley's car from back then would be a back marker at best compared to where it is today, where the technology is today.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Because that car wasn't a backmarker then.
God, no.
It was a rocket.
And it turned one of the fastest lap times I'd ever seen at Delaware. But now they break that on a consistent basis.
Right.
You know, with Kyle Busch in it, it was definitely lights out fast. But, you know, where the late model program is today is so far advanced, and it'll be definitely interesting because Matt stepped into late model at a relatively young age at Delaware.
And
you know, he did kind of scale back a little bit and stepped into the Superstock realm for quite a few years.
Well, he's Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup there too for quite a while.
Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup as well. But he raced Superstock full time at Delaware.
Right.
And posted some great numbers, was always up front. a front runner competitor. But all those years on one of those style cars, he should be very, very competitive at Delaware Speedway, rolling into the late model series, or the regular late model competition,
right?
At Delaware full time. It's going to be interesting to see where Matt Robley shakes out in all of that. He's got to be one of the favorites to go out there and be very competitive. And I'm really looking forward to that interview tonight to talk to Matt, just to see where his headspace is at heading into the season and kind of get a look behind the curtain on what they've got all put together.
It's not going to be long, and Delaware Speedway is going to fire up. Just seen a note, too, from Jim Clark. Looks like things at Humberstone that were planned are from this weekend, I believe, have been pushed to Saturday, April 27th. So there's an update for Humberstone. Dirt fans, that's where the event is going to surface. And I want to say that it was Fan Fest, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it is. Postponed Fan Fest event to Saturday, April the 27th. So
gotcha.
Dave will have things fired up there on April 27th. But things are coming, right?
Absolutely.
Like, we're getting closer. A lot of tracks will be opening up and testing. Practice will start and... it's not going to be long, and things are going to start rolling. Flamborough Speedway can't be far behind here.
No, and, you know, I was poking fun at JR. I said, you know, with the temperature, the way that it looks for Sunday, I was talking to him on Friday. I was down in St. Mary's for work, and there's absolutely no snow down there. It was cold that day, right?
Right.
But talking to JR, you know, back and forth, and I said, are you getting out to you going to get out to Flamborough on Sunday and go testing? And he's like, damn it, I wish.
Yeah.
he wasn't quite ready yet, but it would be interesting because I know that, you know, this warm temperature down south, the tracks like Delaware, the tracks like Flamborough and even Peterborough Speedway, likely the snow is basically gone, and testing's going to fire up here in short order over the next couple weeks.
Well, I see the tweet from Jukasa just today with the picture of the garage door opened up and, you know, some of the work equipment starting to head outside the door. I guess Alex is getting things ready to go at Jukasa. Season isn't that far away. Even though they've got a limited number of events, they do have them scattered out throughout the course of the year, so they got to be ready to rock and roll. I want to remind you, too, the IWK 250, you got to get your renewals in for your campsites. If you were there and you want to get things renewed, you got to do that. I believe I seen a tweet on Friday talking about that very situation, so you don't want to miss out on this year's IWK 250. Kenny Wallace is coming back in, and we got a little more news with some announcements involving Kenny Wallace, and we're going to tell you about those on the other side of the news update, because we're going to throw you back to SiriusXM, and we're going to run like it's 90 seconds, get you up to date on all the news if you're tuned in on SiriusXM Channel 167, which I imagine you are. You're going to get up to date on your news, and then we're going to be back for hour number two tonight here on Race Time Radio. And we've got a great second hour planned. We will hear from Matt Robley. But before we do that, we're going to hear from Amber Balkan, and we'll get caught up with Amber. She's been busy down south, Junior, and we're going to find out exactly what she's been up to. And we're going to do that in, I don't know, about 15, 20 minutes or so. We'll have Amber on the hotline, and we'll catch up with her. So we still got lots coming your way tonight. Hour two will begin in about 90 seconds. Here, get you smarter with this news update. Stay there.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side off.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
We're back with hour number two of Race Time Radio.
With the two Joes.
Here on Race Time Radio.
On SiriusXM 167.
Where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour two begins tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight on SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks, or maybe you're tuned in on 98.9 XFM out of Antigonish, Nova Scotia, or the Performance Motorsport Network.com that runs Racetime Radio three times a week. And how about Gearhead Country Radio? All of those different ways you can tune in. Or if you happen to have missed the show completely and you want to listen to it on your time, on your terms, just get to iTunes, search Racetime Radio, and hit that subscribe button, and you'll get everything up to date all the time. Now, before we went to that news update, I mentioned some more news about Kenny Wallace. Of course, we're going to see him at the IWK 250 July 20th at Riverside International Speedway, celebrating 50 years. But Ontario fans, you're going to get a chance to see Kenny Wallace at in the APC race on July 27th at Chucasa. You can also catch him, Junior, at Full Throttle Motor Speedway. The Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup is coming in June, and you're going to see double Kenny. You're going to see Kenny Wallace, and how about Kenny Schrader? Both of them going to be in that race.
Really?
Yeah.
In the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series?
Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series.
It'll be interesting to see what cars they're in.
I don't know which cars they're in. I was texting with Kenny Schrader, and I said, Schrader, let's get you on the program tonight. He goes, Joe, it's too early. But a little bit longer, a little closer to the event. I said, okay.
Deal.
That's what we'll do. So we'll get him on, and I know we'll have Kenny Wallace at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about Full Throttle Motor Speedway. Those guys are in for a treat coming to that place.
That's definitely cool.
And, yeah, yeah.
Man, you know what? It'll be really interesting to see. Their eyes are going to light up. That's a cool racetrack.
Oh, they're going to be.
It's,
Schrader's going to be dizzy, I guarantee it.
Yeah, and when you look at the tracks that Kenny Wallace has been here in Ontario.
Yes.
So he's been to Flamborough. He's been to Sauble.
Yep.
Been to Jucasa? Well, he raced at Cayuga back in the day with the ASA Tour. That's basically it here in Ontario, right?
I don't think he was at Peterborough.
I don't think he was at Delaware either for that champion. So, really, those racetracks, nothing can compare to what Full Throttle is. As a racetrack surface, just a cool joint and just a racy place. If I was a driver, that would be a racetrack that I'd want to be at because it looks absolutely fun, to drive.
Well,
the banking,
33 degree banking.
It's
turns one and two, same
incredible
as 3-4. Those guys are gonna feel like back in their NASCAR. Sitting in the turns.
Yep.
The straightaways aren't very long, though.
Nope.
I hope they like the turns because they're going to be in them pretty well tonight.
Yeah, and Kenny is a guy that came out of the Midwest late model stuff. So he did, I guarantee he's been on Slinger,
Sure.
And a track like that is very similar to Full Throttle. But I bet that's what he compares it to every time he gets out of the car when they stick a mic in his face. That's what he's going to talk about.
You think?
It's just the place, they're going to have a blast. That's the best thing that I can say. When they're having fun, the fans are going to get a show. And I think that's going to be really exciting. That'll be a race. Put that on your calendar because place will be packed. The race fans around there are ravenous. They're close here.
The place will be full that night, I guarantee you.
It will be. That place will be jammed, and definitely get your tickets from Full Throttle. Just a regular Saturday night show is really cool there as well, but that show is definitely one to circle on your calendar. It's worth making the drive from anywhere to go see that one.
Yeah, and something cool, too, that I seen in the post, Gord Bennett, the owner of Full Throttle Motor Speedway, also added in, it's not going to be a price increase that night because we got these big guys coming in.
Yeah.
He's keeping the gate price the same. How about that?
Absolutely.
Good value and good on you, Gord, for doing what you can to help your race space out.
Pack the place.
It is going to be packed. I was there. Sue and I went there the night Rick Mercer from CBC came in to Full Throttle. And I'll tell you what, that was a gas that night. Had a lot of fun. Been to Full Throttle a few nights down there for the spring. I can't remember what it was called. It was a race in the spring, and it was actually done in March. And Gord gave away his brand-new sprint car to the winner of the race.
Yeah.
It was off the hook.
Yeah, that was definitely cool.
Yeah, and it was Tolton that won it. Wasn't it? Yeah,
it was Bobby Tolton.
Bobby Tolton won that sprint car. It was a beautiful car.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. They do some really neat things there. Gord is definitely a forward-thinking promoter.
Yep.
They do a lot of really neat promotions industry-wide with an industry focus. You know, he's a racer at heart, and he definitely does a good job with everything that he does. And really, they always have unique prizes and you know, things like that, and then definitely unique rules packages, trying to encompass as many people as possible.
Yep.
Really, in all honesty, I want to see a APC race there.
Oh,
or,
really?
Or a Prolate Model Invitational, a big money Prolate Model Invitational at a racetrack like that would be off the charts. The excitement level. I'm telling you right now, it would be hard on bodies.
It would.
Drivers are going to drive into stuff, but they're going to drive into stuff wherever they are. It's in their DNA to wreck stuff. They like tearing equipment up, and the track would help that a little bit.
Well,
but what I would say is the excitement level at that facility for a big pro late model race would be off the charts exciting, and you know it. I think that it would be equal, if not better than the product that was on track for the Pinty's races at Barrie Speedway.
Yeah.
Well, Barrie Speedway and the Pinty's races, tight racetrack. You know, it's no different than putting 40 cars on Martinsville or 37 cars on Martinsville.
Right.
Cup cars with 750 horsepower. If you can do that, you can put 26 or 24 of the best Prolate models on the racetrack at Full Throttle and be completely fine. It would be busy. It would be crazy tight.
Yep.
You wouldn't know where to look. You would not know where to look. But the neat part is there wouldn't be a bad seat in the house. And I think that the racing product that you would see come out of it would be second to none.
Well, I've seen it a number of nights, watched a lot of races there at Full Throttle Motor Speedway. And I've seen guys that have been out front, running out front. And all of a sudden, where did this guy come from? And he makes his way through the field. And I got a point at the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup Series to do that. They get some long green flag runs in their races. And I'll tell you what, the whole complexion of the race changes.
Yeah.
Varney or Full Throttle Motor Speedway, every bit as tight as what Barrie Speedway was back in the day.
But way higher speeds.
And way higher speeds, higher banking. And I would say it's a little bit wider. Now, Ken McLellan, back in the day when he owned it, did a little bit of reconstruction to that facility and widened out the exit of Turn 4.
Yep.
Didn't move the wall back, I don't think. Just widened the track out. And it's kind of tricky coming off Turn 4. But I'll tell you, that racetrack provides great entertainment.
It does, for sure. And, you know, I'm not cutting down the track for not having a race like that. I'm just saying that's something that I want.
Yeah.
You know, their on-track racing product is great, and it is what it is. It's good racing, good short track racing. But to see whether it be a Prolate Model APC race or a Prolate Model Invitational with the caliber of equipment that show up to, you know, Jucasa or that show up to Delaware or Sauble for the APC races.
Right.
That on Full Throttle would be astounding and exciting and fiery. And the amount of hurt feelings at the end of it would be astounding.
Yeah, it would be.
And just the drama level of what could come from that would be incredible. But that's not the reason why I would want it on that track. It's
why?
because the driver, you could take a lower caliber late model and go win that. You know, it's not necessarily how much money
it.
You spent to make the thing turn.
Right.
It's how much driving talent you have after the tires go away after five laps.
Right, right.
You know, a track like Sauble Speedway shows glimmers of that,
yeah.
But you still have to land the power and you have to do some trick stuff to make that happen. At a place like Full Throttle, you can muscle a car to a good finish or a win just off of talent alone.
Yeah, and the banking's going to hold you in.
Exactly,
right?
The banking holds you in. And you know, it's not a banking track that is great big like Riverside. Not that it's a huge track, but
right.
It's momentum is everything there. And I don't think momentum would even come into play at Full Throttle in a big late model show.
And it'd be cool, too, because I don't think, maybe one or two, but aside from that, I don't think there'd be any of the APC competitors that haven't raced there at one time or another.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, they've been there, just not with their APC car.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, they'd shiver at the thought of running a race there. For two reasons. They would either A, be extremely excited to go do it, or they would say, no, I don't want to do that. It'll tear the body off the race car.
And that is something to you know, be in consideration. A tight racetrack like Barry Speedway with the Pinty's cars, those things came off the racetrack, and 15 people were upset.
Yeah, yeah. And 15 bodies
were ripped off the car.
Right.
That being said, I've also seen cars come off of their spotless, pristine, holding a checkered flag, you
right.
know. But, you know, it doesn't matter where you go with these APC cars or pro late models of any kind. You know, you're going to get door marks and you're going to get dents and dings. So,
right.
You know, it is part of the deal. If you don't want to wreck your car, don't put your car in situations to be wrecked.
Right. Don't race.
Exactly. You're in the wrong sport if you're afraid of it. But I would say that if you can honestly look me in the eye or send me a tweet that says a pro late model shouldn't be on that track,
yeah.
then you and I are going to fight.
Ah.
Because just simply anybody that is a late model racer should be absolutely ecstatic for a race like that if that would ever come out. I would be so off the chip. I would be the first guy to buy a ticket to go see that.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup is heading there.
And
on
that
June
is exciting. That
it
is exciting.
It's going to be.
And I'm not saying anything that's, you know, that is going to be an off the charts exciting event. And I will likely be there for that race. And it's going to be off the charts exciting.
Well,
I was just saying that I it's my bucket list. I'm allowed to call out and say what
sure,
I
want. Sure, sure you are. We're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to grab Amber. Yep, we got Amber Balkan coming up on the other side of the break. I thought maybe I had Matt up, but you know what? Snow on the roof, right? I'm allowed to make a mistake. There's one. We have Amber on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
I'm John Roberts, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm-weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. USA. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Hot potato, hot potato.
Everyone has a great time on Canada Talks, even the Wiggles.
Well, I think that's what Anthony was saying. I think the idea of the Wiggles itself as a kind of platform really reaches everything. We're able to have opportunities with people that we never even dreamt of before.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app. MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Taking you all the way to the track. And back. It's Race Time Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
Now, here's Joe.
And we are back with you live tonight on Race Time Radio. So I've got to thank you a ton for tuning in, taking a little bit of your time on a Sunday night to join Junior and I in the studio.
What if they're listening on podcast?
Well, they might be.
If they're listening on a podcast, it's not Sunday night. They're likely listening. Well, it might be. Usually get it loaded right after the show.
Yeah.
So it could be Sunday night, but it could also be Monday.
Could be.
It could be Tuesday when you're driving to work.
Look at you.
It could be, you know, Thursday night at 1 a.m. when you're working in the shop.
Out.
If you just go onto iTunes, you can find us.
Sure.
You can find us. Usually we post a link on Facebook, on Twitter.
Sure.
You could be listening at work.
Yeah.
A lot of people do, surprisingly, you know, throw us on while they're at work and just get lost in race and talk.
Yep.
And not be productive at work.
I'm sorry
to all the bosses out there.
Well, I believe maybe even Norris McDonald might be tuned in tonight.
Great
guy. He is, of course, writer extraordinaire. You can read Wheels in the Toronto Star. Everybody knows Norris.
That's right.
He's
another media guy.
Super modified driver.
Another media guy.
Yeah.
Joel Robertson.
Oh.
Robinson.
Yeah.
Called out Raphael Lessard. He's like, Raphael Lessard, you've raced everything with four wheels, but we haven't seen you in a Pinty's car. Get on it, kid.
Yeah, we haven't seen it.
I second that wholeheartedly. You know, I got a chance to see Raphael Lessard last year race a late model at Trois-Rivières.
Yeah.
But he wasn't in a Pinty's car. You know, the guys in trucks and everything else. Come on up.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
He did a good job in that truck.
And he does a great job. The last ARCA race, just watched the K&N race on Fans Choice TV right after the Xfinity race on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Drove a whale of a race. It didn't have the finish that he wanted, but drove a whale of a race. The kid is lights out. You know that ARCA race that we watched from Five Flag Speedway earlier this year? Lessard was dominant in that race.
Yes, he was.
And, just got a bad set of tires towards the end. He was driving for that KBR development from really just on hop, skip, and the jump on the other side of the border. KBR's from Michigan, he's driving for them in the ARCA series. So, but I second that wholeheartedly, Joel. Raphael Lessard, get your butt in a Pinty's car. I know you're having fun in trucks and ARCA and K&N, but I tell you what, if you're a development driver, there's some stiff competition up here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You come up here and get your cage rattled.
Yeah. Well, and if you want to do really good in the truck series, if you ever aspire to be the champion, so to speak, you want to be competitive in a truck, you got to experience CTMP. So what better way to get familiar with CTMP than to jump into a Pindy's car, work really good for guys like Austin Dillon.
Yeah. Noah Gregson was last year, drove for
Noah
for DJ Kennington. You know, Christopher Bell.
Spencer Gallagher, just
yesterday he drove for Stackley for both races.
Yep.
By the sounds of it, there are more Camper World Truck Series drivers going to be in Pinty's cars this year than ever before. I'm going to go out on a limb. Not just the first race, but as well the second. There's a whole raft of them going to be doing double duty for a bunch of really good teams in the Pinty Series
right.
For in the fall. Now, that's as of today.
Right. Things are going to change,
things
too.
Go up and down.
Sure.
But by the sounds of it, there's going to be a bunch of really good up-and-coming development drivers that are in the Truck Series currently that are going to be strapping into Pinty's cars for
and
that
weekend. Smart move, right? You can learn a pile. You want to learn that racetrack, you do it in a Pinty's car and then jump into a truck.
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what, going to pay huge dividends. It'll be worth it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you'll feel like Superman jumping out of a Pinty's car and into a truck at Mossport.
And
if you can get around with
thing.
No brakes like you do with a Pinty's car, no brakes and no shocks, you basically have to drag your feet to slow the car down compared to
the
big brake package that they have in the trucks.
Right.
That's kind of the cool part. You know, talking to Noah, it helped him a lot when he showed up and jumped in the truck. That helped him. He went right up to the top of the board. The guy was a rocket ship, and he definitely attributed a lot of that to driving for DJ.
Well, and I'll tell you something, too. You think, you think you're a star, and you're going to jump into the Pinty Series, learn a bunch of stuff, and maybe go beat the guys from Canada. Think again. I'll tell you what, we got more competition in the Pinty Series than, you're going to find in most series that run.
I'm going to say a controversial comment here. Which I'm known for, I guess. But the front half of the Pinty's field
right.
is at a higher competition level than the front half of the Truck Series on Mossport.
Really?
On CTMP. When you look at it,
I think
Kevin LaCroix, Andrew Ranger, even DJ Kennington, I'm going to put him
DJ.
In that realm. He's
yep.
he's a rocket ship there. Mark Antoine. Just stellar.
If J.R. Fitzpatrick was back
exactly,
in one of those cars,
exactly. But
he'd be another one.
LP Dumoulin.
Yep.
J.F. Dumoulin.
Yes.
That is just a few of them. But then you get guys like Robin Buck, who's going to be in the front half of the Pinty's field if he's on the racetrack.
Oh, yeah.
Just those seven alone, if you put them in competitive trucks, they would be lights out.
Yes, they would.
And you look at a guy like Tagliani. Now, he's been in the Truck Series the past couple of years for Tyler Young. Tyler
yes.
Young is a team that is showing glimmers of major growth.
Really goodness.
But nowhere near the competition level that a KBM or a BKR of yesteryear or a Thor Sport or any of those GMS.
GMS,
they're not at that level. But when you look at the competition level here on the Pinty side, there has never been a guy come from, the Truck Series level to get experience at CTMP that
right.
has just driven away from the field.
No.
You look at Noah Gregson. He finished third last year in the spring race. Had a great showing.
Yeah.
Would have been fifth. You
right.
know, he came across the line fourth.
Yeah.
But really, the Ranger got DQ'd and moved him up. He didn't drive away from it. Now there was a couple misfortunes throughout the center of the race, but he was competitive. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't be competitive coming into the Pinty Series. I'm not saying that. But I would put the front half of the competition level in the Pinty Series at a higher caliber than the front half of the Truck Series at Mossport alone.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you there, because I'll tell you, there is some real stout competition in the NASCAR Pinty Series, oval or road course, and it's going to be interesting. But when you look back through the list of drivers that have competed in both the Pinty Series and then gone on into the trucks and done their regular thing, they do learn a ton by that Pinty Series. One thing I wanted to add, you mentioned the ARCA race that we watched. We did that on MAV TV. How cool is that?
Yes.
Now we've got MAV TV. We're going to have Mike Garrow from MAV TV on the program next week. He is going to join us, and he's got some stuff he's going to want to talk about. I can guarantee it. And we're going to be able to ask him some questions about what's coming up in Canada that's Canadian racing and what's coming up on the channel, because it is MAV TV Canada. You know that they're working hard to get some Canadian motorsports, not just oval track asphalt, but they're dirt. They're into everything.
Yeah, if you're in Canada I guarantee you, I pretty much guarantee you, whatever TV subscriber you're on now, you'd be able to sign up for MAV TV by now. You know, list is very stout. No matter where you get your TV from, you should be able to get a stream or get the channel. And I highly suggest that anybody out there that is listening, if you haven't done that yet, get it, because there's some big stuff coming down the pipeline from them. Obviously, there's tons of racing that you can watch. You also get, you know, the ARCA stuff that happens that is not on FS1. It's on MAV.
That's right.
For the Sioux Chief short track challenge through the ARCA series. All the dirt stuff that they do on the ARCA series side. Tons of great content. And really rolling into the summertime, this is the time to have it. Definitely call your TV subscriber and get yourself signed up for that MAV TV package, because there's some really good stuff coming down the pipe.
And you're going to enjoy that channel. The breakout shows, too, that, you know, that aside from the live races that they've got a lot of great weekly programs that absolutely every motorsports enthusiast would enjoy watching. So
100%.
If you haven't checked out MAV TV Canada, make sure you do. Available on Shaw Direct, I can tell you, we got it right here. So we are working on getting Amber on the hotline. We're going to do that. We'll hit this final break, and we'll get those out of the way. And then when we come back, we'll have Amber, we'll have Matt, and we'll take you all the way to the end. Commercial free. How about that? Stay with us.
Tracy Hoskins, at the track reporter for Racetime Radio. You are listening to Racetime Radio on Sirius XM channel 167. Racetime Radio, we'll be right back.
MAV TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAV TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You go to the diner with your family. Me, I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You, Tom Brady.
Me,
anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You, talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me,
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no sloughing off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Here's what you missed
on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
Everyone wants to be on Canada Talks, including Oprah Winfrey.
The biggest step is the first one. And before the biggest step is the decision to take it. You know, I think everything happens when you decide. And once you decide, the universe arranges itself in alignment with that decision.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167. And on demand with the SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four.
Then
to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
There we go. Ked bringing us back a little bit early tonight, but we stacked it up. We're going to go commercial free from here right to the end of the show. And how about this? Matt Robley just passed Amber Vulcan, and he's in the lead. We have Matt Robley with us now on the hotline. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me.
You betcha, bud. Looks like you got that 51 all ready to rock and roll. Things looking good there in the shop.
Yeah, things are looking good in the shop. We had the car at the London Speed and Custom Show a couple weekends ago, and things are starting to come around, and we're about ready to go for May 3rd.
Yeah, you gotta love it. May 3rd is when things fire up at Delaware Speedway. You'll get a little practice in before that, will you, Matt?
Yeah, that's right. We've got two practice dates on the 20th and the 27th, and then right into race on first Friday of May.
You gotta love it. Now, is this going to be your first full-time effort in a pro late?
Actually, no, it's not. Back in 2010 and 2011 with Jerry Finley and the Abbey Motorsports guys, we actually had a chance to field a late model car for a couple years there, even actually managed to pull off a win back in 2011.
See, look at that. Matt, there's so much happening that I can't keep up with absolutely everything. I knew you've been successful in whatever you've got into. Didn't know whether for sure it was your dad or whether it was you back then, but look at that. You cleared that one right up. How's your dad making out? Man, I know he's got a ton of fans out there.
Yeah, dad's doing really good. He's still helping out in the shop a whole lot, and it's great to be able to spend time with him doing something in front of Raven.
Now, Matt, looking at Delaware Speedway and the Pro Late models, there's been a lot of changes since you did run it. Of course, you've spent a couple of years in the Super Stocks at Delaware, so no shortage of seat time on the racetrack. But the cars are definitely there's quite a bit of different technology, and by the sounds of it, you've picked yourself up a stellar piece of equipment. Talk a little bit about that, and as well the tire that you guys are going to be on. Last time you were in a pro late, there was a little bit of a wider tire on there.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, just this season coming up, Delaware's made the decision to go on to the same tire as the APC series. So, I mean, for all descriptive purposes, we've got ourselves an APC car, and given the opportunity, I know Delaware is going to be our main priority. But I definitely would like to try to get to at least one of those APC races before the year's out. The series, both at Delaware and APC, with their home track program, has really helped to get things going with late models in Ontario. And I think you can really see that with the added car counts. I mean, things were looking a little grim there for a couple of years, but now we've got, I think, 22 cars registered for the weekly program at Delaware, and things are really looking up.
Yeah, you got to love it. You get more cars out there, the better. Have you looked at all at that Sauble NASCAR Pro Late Model Series? It's a short series, but I believe they run the nights you guys are off. Have you looked at that yet?
Yeah, well, we've always had an eye on the schedule, both at Delaware and everywhere else in the province. But since we're just getting going with the Pro Late Model and trying to get our feet wet again, because it has been a minute, but I think we're just going to try and get things going at Delaware and see how it goes from there.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's great to see you back in a race car. It takes a lot, doesn't it, to field a race car, to go out there and put a string of races together. It's no easy task.
Oh, absolutely not. And I mean, you guys and a lot of your listeners all know, but maybe for some of the people who don't, that there's a tremendous amount of work that goes behind these cars, not just by me and my crew guys, but all the sponsors and the promoters and the racetracks and the media. It's a big collective effort, and you can't have one without the other or the other. You need everybody working together to put on a good show, and I think we're looking good for 2019.
Talk a little bit about that on the sponsorship front, Matt. Obviously, you've always had lots of great support on basically every car that I've ever seen you strap into. But talk a little bit about that, and it's definitely a little bit of a different proposition to go from Super Stock to late model now. Who all have you added, and what's that sponsorship lineup look like?
Well, first of all, I got to say thanks to VIP Auto Pro, especially the guys out on Florence Street in London, Ontario. They've been helping me out for a good number of years now, a lot of the good years and some of the bad years, so their efforts can't be understated. And then the last couple of years with the Super Stocks, we've been running with STS Roofing out of Beachville, Ontario, and Ray Cullen Chevrolet out of London, Ballpoint Construction, Federated Insurance, Kettley Farms, and everybody else who helps, you know, throw in a couple bucks here and there when they can. Really, really makes all the world to me.
You know, there's going to be a lot of excited fans in that Kamoka, Ontario area and surrounding to hear that a Robley is going to be back on that racetrack. That's going to draw some more fans in. I bet your Earlins are peaking when they heard you guys were coming back in.
Oh, I certainly hope so. And it's a good thing you mentioned the Earlins. I mean, their work that they've done at Delaware Speedway over the last couple of years has been phenomenal. And it's nice to see that their efforts are being rewarded with big car counts and sponsors and hopefully lots of fans.
Yeah, you used to be one of those kids, Matt. Now you're getting up there, man. You're one of those crafty veterans getting behind the wheel and going to get back into it. Want to touch a little bit on your Lucas Oil Sportsman Cup days and the news we were talking about earlier. Varney Motor Speedway, or I guess it's Full Throttle Motor Speedway now, you ran that racetrack, and we got Kenny Wallace and Kenny Schrader coming up. Those guys are going to be in for a treat, aren't they?
I really think so. It's a great little speedway and great experience all around. I think those guys are going to have a lot of fun. I know everybody seems to be really excited about the Delawares and the Cayugas and the Sunsets, but I mean, it's those small little bullring tracks like Varney or Full Throttle Motor Speedway that really put on a great show, and I think those guys are going to have a lot of fun.
Looking at your late model, you know, from yesteryear, and comparing it to today, and what you guys have put together, talk a little bit about the technology change that maybe surprised you from the outside looking in. I know you were still connected and still a part of the sport, but talk a little bit about the technology changes that you've noticed, and what are you looking forward to most heading into the season? Obviously, going out there and performing, but what are you looking forward to most about getting into the car and actually feeling, you know, behind the wheel?
The Superstock division has been great. They've grown over the years, and it's been great to be involved with that. But obviously, getting into that late model again with the really good shocks and the really good tires, and just to know you have the best of the best, it's just fantastic.
Yeah, pretty cool. I know Junior and I talking off the top of the show. Of course, Kyle Busch had a great day today at Bristol, getting the win. I said I'm going to ask Matt tonight. Do you guys ever hear from Kyle? I know. When Kyle ran at Delaware Speedway and he won, he did it in one of your cars, one of those Robley 28s. Do you ever hear from Kyle anymore? And pretty cool to see him on the tear that he's on.
Well, as much as I'd like to say I have, he's a busy guy, and his main priority is just what's next, the next racetrack, the next race car, and the next win. So I'm sure one day our paths will cross again. It'd be nice to say hello, and he's always welcome up here in Ontario, as I think everybody would agree. But no, I haven't heard from him personally.
Have not, eh? Well, how about when he was done with the car? Did you guys find a big difference with the race car after Kyle had gone out there and massaged it and got it into victory lane? Was there any difference?
Not particularly. I mean, even back then, we always had really good equipment, and he was quick to compliment our hard work. I think the thing you'll notice, I mean, there's no huge difference between a late model or even a Winston Cup car from the States as you find up here in Ontario. We've had just as good equipment as anybody else in North America, and I think it shows when those guys come and participate, because it just makes everybody step up their game. The equipment's not different. It's just the attitude and the passion and the hard work that really, really steps everybody up and puts on a good show.
Yeah, and well said, Matt. Well said. Pretty cool back in those days watching Kyle come in and work on that 28 car. He didn't have to do much, out he went, and away he went. Man, that thing was fast.
Well, yeah, and I wouldn't say he didn't have to do much. He showed up. And right from the minute he got there until the minute he got out of that car, he worked like a dog all day long. He really puts 100% into everything that he does, and I think that's why he's so successful.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was definitely pretty cool. Sitting up on top, of course, I was working with Andrew Grizel back then, and we pulled into the track probably about 2.5 hours early. Like we normally did, we had a little parking lot party, and we could hear him out there testing. And I remember walking up to the grandstands, and our whole team sat there and watched. And right beside us was Sean Thompson, and those guys, their whole team was there. And he would go out there and run two laps, pull back in, jump out of the car, climb right underneath, and your team was there to support and help. And he'd do two more laps, and it was one of the most impressive things to watch. And really, it took notice to a lot of guys and elevated a lot of programs watching how he did that. Because it seemed like every time he would go out, he would pick up a tenth and a half. And it was literally he did it like six times in a row where he was a tenth and a half quicker. And by the end of it, he went backwards about two tenths. And that's about the time where he stopped. It was really cool to watch. But that was definitely cool for you guys to be a part of. The Robley name is definitely a big name at Delaware Speedway, really all over Ontario. But do you feel any pressure, Matt, because of carrying that name at Delaware Speedway and rolling into a late model in your own deal?
No, I really don't think so. I mean, everybody I've been involved with, both family and friends, they've always made a great effort to make sure that, our main focus and going to the racetrack is to have fun. I mean, everybody wants to be competitive, but I mean, ultimately we're there to have fun, and any pressure that's put on to me is my own. And they've been really, everybody's good about just letting me take that responsibility myself. There's really been no added pressure. I mean, you hear comments here and there up in the beer tent from time to time and maybe on the internet, but I mean, nothing that any normal person couldn't handle, I don't think.
Getting ready for another season, what have you done to prepare for this? I know you guys have been working hard on the car, but how about you personally? Anything that you've done to get ready for this year?
Oh, it's all just hard work in the shop. I mean, we picked up a car that's a couple of years old, so it needed some updates, but we've gone through the whole car, top to bottom, and I think we're going to have a good piece.
I do want to bring one thing up here, and this is definitely kind of a sign of the times and exciting. And I know that you're not new to late model, and I know that the names that I say aren't going to be new to late model either. But really, it's almost like all is right in the world again, because the most exciting late model racing in Ontario that I had ever seen or been a part of was watching Steve Robley, Ron Sheridan, Dion Verhoeven, Scott Lindsay, and those guys race at Delaware Speedway. It was always a barn burner. There was always younger guys coming up, like the Grizels, like the Pritigos, like the Jonathan Erlins. But that mixed in with those wily veterans.
Right.
Today, you've got you with a beautiful-looking hot rod, Matt Robley. You've got Jake Sheridan in a beautiful number 52 McCall car. You've got Brandon Verhoeven in a brand-new WMI car. Robley, Verhoeven, Sheridan, all rolling out on the track at the same time. And now the wily veterans are the Matt Pritigos and the Andrew Grizels and those guys. That is definitely pretty cool. And I wonder, does Scott Lindsay not have a kid? He's the only guy missing out of that whole list.
I don't know about that. I haven't seen Scott in a number of years, but I mean, you definitely touch on a really good point, both in late model racing, and to your point, I think more myself of like the old CASCAR days of all them Sheridans and the Robleys and the Lindsays and everybody racing and duking it out on Friday nights and then loading up the trailers and then driving all the way to Saint-Eustache,
yes,
out by Montreal for a Saturday night show, only to turn around and come back on the Sunday to go to work on Monday. And it was all just good racing and good fun, and I think we're seeing a bit of a resurgence back to that with lots of good fast race cars and lots of good hard racing. And I really hope we're on the upswing and things are going to be fun.
Well, you know, the world will be correct when the common denominator, as long as Lloyd Rawlings is back out there, that number 69 car will be just perfect.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if Lloyd's going to be out there. I sure hope he is. What a class act that guy is. Beautiful race car and fits right in with everybody. Matt, this is going to be an exciting season. How can fans stay up with you, buddy?
Well, I think the best way to keep up with our racing program is on our Facebook fan page for Robley Motorsports, or they can find me on any social media. I'm on Instagram and on Facebook. I don't do the Twitter as of yet, but we might get there one day.
I was going to give you a wag of the finger. Uh-huh. I was going to, if I could critique you on one thing, you haven't tweeted since 2017, so you need to get up on the Twitter, on the Twitter sphere, Mr. Robley.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I think I'll spend some time working in the shop, and then if we get done early one night, maybe I'll send out a tweet or two.
That
sounds good. We'll keep everybody up to date on this thing.
Absolutely.
That's the stuff, Matt. Got to thank you for your time. You got to do us a favor, too. Give your dad a shot for us. Say, make sure you give him our best, and we'll see him this summer along with you at Delaware Speedway.
I surely will, and thank you guys for having me, and hopefully we'll see you out of Delaware on May 3rd.
We will. That's the stuff. That is Matt Robley, driver of the number 51 at Delaware Speedway. He's got that machine shined up, ready to go. That's cool. He's back in.
And the coolest part to me is the farm system on the super stock side down at Delaware is working.
It is.
You can tell, like, the competition level in the super stocks, you know, there was a point in time where the car counts took a big dip at Delaware Speedway on the late model side.
They did everywhere.
Exactly. 100% correct. But when you look at the super stock competitors, you know, the big names from last year from Delaware Speedway, you've got Gary Adrianson. Of course, he just posted, he's registered for the APC series.
He registered for
you know, some races with the 55, just a beautiful looking race car. Daryl Lake partnered up with J.R. Fitzpatrick.
Right.
He's going to be driving the 84A from last year. Of course, he's going to have the 77 on the door, but the championship car. You know, you've got Matt Robley strapping into his number 51. But really, when you look down the entry list from last year in the super stocks, there's quite a few guys that are taking that leap over. But I think there's a lot to be heard and a lot to come out of seeing those three names, you know, like I was mentioning. I can't drive that home enough. Watching Robley and Sheridan battle, it was something to be, you know, to write home about. They fought each other tooth and nail, and I hope that that Robley and Sheridan and Verhoeven kind of get back to that swing of things and kind of reignite those family battles, because that's there was some really cool racing back then, and all three of those kids are very talented race car drivers.
Yeah, and here's hoping we see them at the beach too. That was kind of cool. You know, there's a four race series that's going to take place at Sauble Speedway, and there is a NASCAR championship that's at the other end of it. And it opens the door to a lot of teams that even maybe running a part-time schedule will be able to jump into it. It pays well. There's a qualifier in there for the Jucasa race. There's a lot of perks going to happen with that Sauble Speedway NASCAR series. Get to SaubleSpeedway.ca. Have a look at the schedule, and you can pick those dates up. It's going to be a cool series. And to see guys like Pertigo and, all the names.
Yeah,
it would be kind of cool to see all those guys here.
I will say that I hope that Ron Sheridan forgot his setup from that year that he won the Beat the Heat race.
Do you remember
when the 52 car showed up? It was the first time that Sheridan had been at Sauble Speedway in years.
I'll never
forget
it.
Beat the Heat 150.
Yep.
And he came up and absolutely stunk up the show.
He was fast, man.
He could have had the left front tire fall off the damn car, and he still would have won that race. And, you know, the fan side of me, really hopes that Ron Sheridan forgot that and he doesn't slip that setup under the table over to Jake, because if he does, then Jake is going to be lights out fast. But and he was last
and
year, the APC race.
He's a chip off the old block, isn't he, Jake?
He is. And, you know, Jake Sheridan, just a great kid. You know, I watched him race a couple APC races last year. Astounding to watch. The kid, you know, I don't think he was classed as a rookie last year. Was he classed as a rookie? He had raced the year prior a few times.
I don't know
whether he was classed as a rookie or not last year, but just astounding to watch. Going into, you know, his third year of late model competition, and just I know we're not, we were talking about Matt Robley, but you got to talk about Sheridan if you're
sure
talking
you
about a Robley. So,
right.
Looking forward to seeing what those three names can do.
And as Matt mentioned too, what APC is doing as a corporation, as a company for Saturday night racing,
100%.
They've got different incentives in there if you're running your Saturday night program and come out and run the APC series. You got to check it out. They've got a program put together. Just hats off to APC for doing what they do.
At Flamborough Speedway as well. You know, Flamborough's yep. weekly competition schedule has always been strong with prolate models. They've been very strong for numerous years. It's the same deal. The APC is pouring back into the program. Get to APC Series to check out that contingency program that they have for all the details. But, it doesn't matter if you're running a prolate at Flamborough or at Sauble, at Delaware Speedway. It goes back and helps your program, adds more money to the pot, adds more prizes to the pot, and definitely encourages the competitors to not just support the series, support the home tracks, build it up. And, it's a two-part hand-holding series, and that's the best part about the deal.
One depends on the other. It always has,
always will be.
Yep. Yeah. I've got to get to this clip, too. Christopher Bell won yesterday the Xfinity race at Bristol. He had a great race. Let's hear from him. He was in the media center, and I downloaded one of those clips to play for you tonight in case you happen to miss Christopher Bell and what he had to say at the end of the race. Here he is.
Yeah, the last 25 were really probably some of the calmest laps I had out there, except I was pretty loose. So, but the longer we ran, my car just kept getting better and better and better. And I don't know, that was kind of the motto of our weekend. We never really fired off super fast, but over the long run, we were really, really good. And especially when the top came in, that thing was rolling around there really nice.
So good race for him. I know he's had a couple of races where car looked incredibly strong. He was running real good. And then, something would happen to him. He got tied up in something. Finally, everything came together.
Yeah. And, it's really interesting. The amount of speculation going on right now is really reminiscent to when Joey Logano ran, Xfinity. And was coming up through the ranks and speculation. When is he going to go to Cup? When is he going to go to Cup? When is he going to go to Cup?
Right, right.
Similar thing happened to Eric Jones, to William Byron. They're ready for it. They're ready for it. Let's put him in. Where is he going to land? Those types of storylines. I'm almost sick of hearing about it from Christopher Bell, and I feel bad for the kid because he is in a great spot with JGR and the Xfinity program. He was the winningest driver last year. He's going to be the winningest driver again this year.
Sure,
I'll pretty much hands down guarantee it.
Yep.
The kid doesn't really need to prove anything anymore on the Xfinity side.
Not to anybody.
He's a wheelman. He's a hell of a wheelman. Wins in everything that he gets in. He's going to be awesome in Cup with the right opportunity. And, when you look at the JGR camp, it looks pretty stable for next year. You've got Eric Jones, who is posting decent numbers. Not the numbers where he wants to be, but he's posting decent numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
He's on the uptrend. Obviously Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, and as well Martin Truex, all four of those guys are performing. The interesting thing, and I think that we've seen it with Eric Jones, a different realm, different world, the partnership with Toyota and LFR. Look at the performance that LFR posted with the 95 with Matt DiBenedetto.
Today, yeah.
Matt DiBenedetto went out there, finished, 12th in the Cup race, and they were saddened by that. If you read into the team's, messaging, they were looking for a top five, and they ran inside the top 10 all day. Now, they don't do that every week, but they're on a massive uptrend.
Sure they are. You look
for
at the
JGR,
results since the beginning of the year,
yes.
They're really up.
For JGR, I think an amazing opportunity is to take that 95 camp to a two-car team set up very similar to what happened with the 78 and the 77 with Furniture Row. You look at that program, Eric Jones had nowhere to go. There was no fourth team that was open for Eric Jones at the time. So what did they do? They put Eric Jones in the number 77 furniture row car.
That's a lot of pressure, though, for Bob, right? Bob Levine, you'd have to add another team.
There's definitely a lot of... But they're at the stage now where they almost need a second team for that data, for that internal data, to be able to grow to the point of a very competitive team. They almost need that second car. And when you look at that opportunity, I think that that is a place that would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form to see that happen, to keep him underneath that JGR banner and also get him into a cup car into the future. That was a program that worked amazing for Eric Jones.
You wouldn't want to lose Christopher Bell. You'd want to keep him.
Yeah. They can't.
No.
If they did, somebody's going to get shot because that there, not, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
somebody's going to get fired over that deal. Because he is one of the biggest talents that the sport has seen in recent years. And in really this era, the amount of talent that the kid has is just oozing out of him. And Toyota is, there's no chance in hell that they're going to lose him.
Right.
And I think Christopher Bell knows that, and you can hear that. So I think that storyline needs to go away.
Is he going to be in the Cup Series, or is he going to go another year in Xfinity?
I would put money on it that he would be in the Cup Series next year.
But it wouldn't hurt if he stayed in Xfinity.
It would not hurt him. It would almost benefit him to stay in Xfinity for another year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way around it that I would rather be in a Gibbs car in the Xfinity Series.
Having
in
success.
In a competitive Gibbs car, not competitive, an uber competitive Gibbs car in the Xfinity Series, than to go to a subpar team in the Cup Series. Now, that being said, with the right opportunity, I think that the right opportunity is out there.
Right.
Under the Toyota banner, whether it be with a team like LFR, whether it be with a different team that comes in to fill that gap for Toyota. Because really, when you look at the Toyota involvement in the Cup Series, sure, they're winning all these races, right?
They're
super competitive with the four Gibbs cars. They've really only got one other car that's a Toyota. You've only got LFR.
Yeah.
You've got the 95 car that is an actual Toyota car that is partnered with TRD. Sure, you might see a Toyota roll out of one of the lesser teams, like a premium or like a wear racing on a one-off scale or whatever that may be. But really, Toyota-wise, TRD-wise, there's only five cars. When you look at Chevy, they've got, 11 cars? And then you've got even more than that on the Chevy side. You've got 14 cars. Plus, you've got the Fords with an even larger number than that.
And look at the success Penske's having right now.
Well, yeah.
Big.
For Toyota to be sustainable, sure, they're on an uptick right now, and they've got a great trending to success.
Right.
But you start lagging behind in this sport in data, in personnel, in timing, in anything, and you start to fall backwards. And Toyota... as much as they need to protect Christopher Bell and hold on to him,
right.
They need to focus on the growth within the series and getting more cars that are competitive. I think that that's going to happen. I think that those two go hand in hand, and Christopher Bell could carry a significant role in doing just that.
Yeah, he sure could. But, Junior, you know what, bud? We are done. We're right at the top of the hour.
That was a fun show.
That was. We had a great guest lineup. Sorry we didn't catch up with Amber Balkan.
We called.
We tried.
Stood us up.
She must be tied up. Check her out on Facebook, Twitter. She's got a lot happening right now. She did some testing for KBM.
And she signed up to do two KBM races in the super late model side. So
she's got lots coming down. Yeah. She's got lots coming down, and we'll try again. We'll try and catch up with Amber. But for Sue here in the Racetime Radio studio, got to thank her for wiring us up with everybody, and of course everyone back in the Toronto studio for getting us on the air, to everyone on Sirius XM channel 167. But that's going to do it for Junior and I, Joe Chisholm, here tonight. We will catch up with you next week. Have a good, safe week, and we're getting just ever so close to the beginning of the season. It won't be long now, race fans, and we'll keep you up to date. Have a good one, everybody. We'll catch you soon.
White flag is out. One to go. No pressure from behind, buddy. Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. A message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy. Excellent.